You're going to make what you say.
Sure, please.
And we add Thursday to Friday. I've got your title on Thursday.
Okay, my friends.
I've got your title on Wednesday, which is the day before.
So, Blinetta, if somebody could just remind me, but I hopefully I'll remember that next week at this time we'll do Meshechov.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, if you want a Chizkuni, I don't know, I'm not sure if that's exactly my style, but Meshechov is very challenging. You know, I like to learn something something challenging. Okay.
Yeah, Turkey Day.
Yeah. Avram, you're going to treat us to turkey, right?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Can we
say hodu on that day?
Hodu Hashem Kito. Right. Yeah. Tanigal hodu. Okay, then. So this parsha.
How many pages do you need?
There should be two pages, which is four sides. Right?
Have you got.
No, thank you.
Okay, and maybe. Yeah, okay. Maybe if you get a chance, we'll close the door. In any event, for Parshas Chayisara, we have Perek Chof Dalet, which is the perek dedicated to finding a marriage partner for Yitzchak Avinu. And of course, in a sense, the central figure here is Eliezer. And the pasuk says, "Vayikach ha'eved asarag malim migmalei adonav, vayelech v'chol tuv adonav biyado." There's a tremendous emphasis here in this parsha about the camels.
Yeah.
We'll call it Abraham's camels, which were brought by Eliezer. Who is Eliezer? Of course, Eliezer is the Eved Avram, but the pasuk describes Eliezer as Ben Meshek Beisi, Hu Dameshek Eliezer. And Rashi says that the word Dameshek means, this is called the Nutrikar, means it's Rashi Tevis, of Shedola Umashke Mitorason Shalrabo Le'acherim.
Wow.
Notice he dips into the waters of truth, of the Torah, of his Rav, of his master, meaning of Eliezer, and he shares of Avram, and he shares them with others. So he is the facilitator of transmission of Avram's Torah to others. Rashi then goes on later on in the parasha, and he says that why does the Torah go into such great detail about every single word that came out of Eliezer's mouth? Very unusual, atypical. Because there's something absolutely profound about the sicha, even the discussion of the servants of the avos, and that is beloved in the eyes of Almighty, and therefore we have to study those sicha, those words of sicha, even the words of discussion that come out of the mouths of the avdei avos. So what we want to focus on today is the Asara Gmalim Migmale Adonov, that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that there were 10 camels, and these were the 10 camels of Abraham. Okay, then? And it cannot be coincidental that the Torah puts so much emphasis on this, shall I say, meticulous nuance of the 10 Gmalim. What's it all about? Now, if you take a look at a paragraph here, the third paragraph on your page 1, that starts with the word kach, so we'll see that there's a tremendous significance to these gmalim. How do we know that there's a tremendous significance to the camels? Because when Eliezer was perplexed about how he would find the right girl for his master, for Yitzchak, so he made himself a simon, a kind of an omen.
Yeah.
And it says in the pasuk, "V'haya hanara asher omari lehatina kadech v'shtem v'yamra shesev gam gmalech eshke." How will I know that I've certainly succeeded in my mission, and I found the right girl, and she will be the marriage partner chosen in heaven for my master Yitzchak? I will know it because she will offer water to my gmalin, to the camels. Osa hochachta liavdecha liyitzchak uba eidak yasisa chesed im Adoni. How will I know, without doubt, that you have demonstrated that this is the right girl? It will be because she is going to be the one who wants to feed or give drink to my gmalim, to my camels. And again, the Torah repeats the concept of the camels. This, the camels become so important and high profile. It says, "Vayehi kiros sadnezem v'satmidim al yideachos." So later on, after Eliezer gives the gifts to Rivka, and she goes back to her family, and they see all the gifts that she has, the nezem and the tzmidim. Then it says, "Vayavo el ha'ish." The members of her family, that's Lavan and Besuel, they go out to the ish. The ish is Eliezer. And where is Eliezer? Who cares where Eliezer is? He just says outside, bring him in. No, the Torah cares about him. The Torah has to emphasize, "Vu omed al hagmalim al ha'ayin." He is standing with his camels over the spring, the well, excellent, the well. Vayomer, bo baruch Hashem. They say to Eliezer, "You are blessed, come inside." Lama tamod b'chutz. And not only that, anochi panisi abayis, I have made room for you in our house. Umakom l'gmalim. I have place that's designated for your camels.
Important.
Again, the gemalim, but that's only number three. Now we're up to number four. Vayavoa isha baisa, vayfatach gemalim. Vayfatach, Rashi says, means he opens the muzzles around the gemalim, because outside the gemalim might be tempted to eat illegally from someone else's field. So Rashi says that Avram's camels had to be muzzled, and that's the fourth time that the Torah emphasizes the gemalim. Now we get to the next episode, the next, shall I say, piece in the episode, when Rivka is brought by Eliezer back to Yitzchak. And again, the gemalim. Vatokom Rivka v'narosel v'terkavna ala gemalim. We have to know that Rivka is riding on the gemalim. If you don't know that, then you're missing a very important piece of information. The Torah doesn't give us any irrelevant information. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnos erev, vayisa einav, vayar. What does he see? So again, for my part, if I was writing the script, I would say he saw Rivka. No, v'hine gmalim for him. He sees the camels. I'm not sure what number we're up to, if it's number five or six, I don't know. But he saw Rivka say now, v'teres Yitzchak v'tipol me'al hagamal. You have to know that she fell off the camel. Whatever number we're up to, I didn't keep a scorecard. Over and over again, if anybody has a just even a superficial perspective on this, on reading these verses in this whole parasha, which is an entire parasha dedicated to the marriage of Rivka to Yitzchak, you will see over and over again that the Torah emphasizes the gemalim, and we know this is no superfluous word in the Torah. Every word has to be accounted for. Why is it that in this parasha, this episode of the marriage between Yitzchak and Rivka, the subject, the topic of gemalim is so high profile, repeated and emphasized time and time again? There must be something deeper below the surface in understanding the role of the gemalim. Now, for the balance of this essay, of the Shvilei Pinchas, we're going to enter into a different kind of a world. I mean, that's what the doctor was saying, that maybe it's too mystical. So, Belineta, next time we'll see if we can do better, and we'll study the Meshech Chachma. But let's at least have our last fling, as we say, with the Shvilei Pinchas, and enjoy it. It says, "Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basode." It means that before Yitzchak encounters Rivka for the first time in his life, he's out there lasuach basada. Lasuach means some sort of dialogue.
Conversation.
Well, sicha, conversation. What is the relevance here that Yitzchak was the schizophrenic? He goes out to the field to talk to who? Talk to himself? And the answer is, says the Gemara Pesachim, he was talking to God. And here is where he established the tefillah of Mincha. And the Gemara says, what does it mean in Yeshayahu? Novim halchu amim rabim v'yamru lechu v'nal el har Hashem el beis elokei Yaakov elokei Yaakov elokei Avram Yitzchak. Why does it say that the people of the nations of the world will agree that we go up to the mountain of God and we're going to encounter the God of Yaakov? What happened to the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak? Ela lo kavram shekasu bo har. With regard to Avram, he's up on the mountain. As the Pasuk says, Asher Yomar Hayom Bahar Hashem Yira'eh, that's in the parish of the Akedah, that's where Avram Avinu climbs the mountain. V'loki Yitzchak Shekosubo Sodeh, Shenemar V'yetzi Yitzchak Lesupa Sodeh, L'kiyakom Shenemar Bayez, V'yikosh Shem Rakumahu Beis El. So whereas Avram is associated with a mountain, and Yitzchak with a field, Yaakov is associated with a bayis, with a house. And that house is the house of Hashem, and that's where we gather together and we assemble to pray to God. Now, the Maharal Prague writes a super commentary on Masechta Avos. It's called the Derech Chaim, and he says the following. There are three Batei Mikdashos. The first one is built by Shlomo Melch. The second one at the time of Ezra Nehemiah. And the third one, which is the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, Li'asid Lavo, will come down from heaven. So we have three Batei Mikdash. Did I miss a joke? I love to...
Oh, we can't wait. Okay.
Good. So now comes along the Maharal Prague with a major breakthrough. And he says that these three Batei Mikdashos parallel, or correspond to the three of us. The first Beis HaMikdash is Avram's Beis HaMikdash. The second one is Yitzchak's, and the third is Yaakov. And says the Maharal, when the Gemara tells us, Lo ka Avram shekaro har, lo ki Yitzchak shekaro sodel, Yaakov shekaro bayis, that means that the ultimate bayis, which is going to be the bayis HaShlishi, is going to be the eternal bayis, that is Bishchus Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu is associated with bayis. So let's go back now to Yitzchak. Yitzchak is associated with what? With a field, right? Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach where? Basodeh. And the Gemara says that he was mispalel. What was he praying for? He was praying for the Beis HaMikdash. Which Beis HaMikdash? Which one is Yitzchak's? The second Beis HaMikdash, correct?
Yes.
But both, are you following me? I didn't say anything so complicated. Right, Avram Avinu is the first Beis HaMikdash. Yitzchak is the second, and Yaakov corresponds to the third Beis HaMikdash. So when it says that Yitzchak was being mispalel, and Chazal understand that he was praying for the establishment of the Beis HaMikdash, which Mikdash was Yitzchak connected to, and he was praying for? Everybody? Is it one, two, or three? Yitzchak. Two.
Second one.
Good. I don't hear you, so I get very nervous. You know, it sounds like I'm
echo chamber.
Yeah, there's an echo chamber. Yeah. So now we say that the bias Hashlishi is corresponding to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak goes out to the Sod. Okay, now what does Yitzchak see when he goes out to the field? So let's go back to the middle column here, the top, the second part. He sees camels. Correct? That's what it says. It says, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basodeh, Vayisa einov vayar, he lifts up his eyes, and what does he see? Hinei gmalim boim. He sees camels. So again, this is Yitzchak who's out in the field, he's praying for the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and what does he see? He sees gmalim. There must be some deeper significance to these gemalim, to these camels. So let's put this all on the side, because obviously there's some connection between the Beis HaMikdash and the gemalim in some symbolic way, but let's talk about the three Batei Mikdashos. Now, as you know, the Arizal, who lived 5 centuries ago, he had access and insight to secrets of the Torah. And he says that the 3 Batei Mikdashos correspond to 3 different aspects of Torah. The first Beis HaMikdash corresponds to what's called Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah. Second corresponds to the oral Torah, which is called Torah Shebaal Peh. And finally, ultimate Beis HaMikdash, the eternal one, the third one, is Kolel Shnehem. It combines both the written Torah and the oral Torah. V'hine Beis HaMikdash HaRishon Hoye Inyan Shel Torah Shebichtav. Why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of 3 basic violations. That's Avodah Zarah, Gilui Shefichas Damim, the 3 cardinal sins. They represent undermining the Torah Shebichtav. The Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, which was Torah Shebaal Peh, is Nechrav Al Yidei Sinas Chinam, because of base hatred. So we're going to try to understand, why is it that the first Beis HaMikdash is destroyed because of the 3 fundamental cardinal sins, the second because of Sinas Chinam? So my friends, you know, if you ask me what is the theme, the topic of our discussion today, I thought it would be the Gemalim, but I'm not sure. It will be the Gemalim, but I think at this point we could say the theme of our essay today, of our study today, is the Beis HaMikdash. So let's call this, we'll entitle it the Beis HaMikdash and its meaning. He says the first bias corresponds, according to the Arizal, to the Torah Shebichtav. And it was destroyed because of the fundamental and cardinal sins that are written and encoded in the written Torah. The second Beis HaMikdash, which corresponds to the Torah Shebaal Peh. How do you acquire Torah Shebaal Peh? So you can say Robinson Crusoe, right? I learned Torah on my own, I'm alone, you lock me up in a room, and I don't want to see the light of day, I'll just study Torah. No, no, no. That's not the way Torah is meant to be studied. The Gemara says, "O chavrusa, o mesusa, that shnayim sheyoshvim v'ein b'neim divrei Torah." Terrible things. They have to learn together. Again, we live in a very strange world today. The communication has kind of fizzled out today. I mean, nobody looks at each other, nobody talks to each other. You can go to daven in the same shul for 50 years, nobody pays any attention to you. But that's not the way it was meant to be. The way it was meant to be is that a shul and a kehilah is meant to be friends and friendship, and we learn Torah together, and that's what we're doing now, and that's Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, if you want to learn the Torah Shebichtav and you're alone and reading Psukim, it doesn't bother me. But when you want to interpret and understand the Torah, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, then you need Chavrusa. The opposite of Chavrusa, which is antithetical to Torah Shebaal Peh, is called Sinas Chinam, his base hatred. Nobody cares about the next one. Nobody wants to study with the next one. There's no sharing. There's no communication. But about Torah Shebaal Peh, that's terrible if there's no communication, because, as you'll see on the top of page 2, Ein Torah Niknes Ela B'Chabura. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos that you cannot acquire Torah Shebaal Peh alone. It's not an effort that you can achieve your fruits by doing it alone. But rather, you need to learn Bichabura. Chabura means a group. There's got to be a group effort. Yeah, I remember when I was in graduate school, they had seminars. It was no longer, you know, each person studying on their own. They had seminars in which we would sort of study as a small group. And it always occurred to me that this was a Jewish idea that the Goyim took from us. And by the way, it took them a long time to realize the power of seminars, of these groups of people studying together. It was, in my youth, it was considered a revolution of sorts. But in halacha, in Jewish thinking, chabura is the way to go. It's the key to success in Torah Shebaal Peh. Fine. Now, we're going to study a little bit of the Pritzadik, and he expands on this idea that we spoke about in the name of the Ari about the symbolism of each one of the Batei Mikdashos. And he says the following. The verse Beis HaMikdash, which is the Mikdash of Torah Shevichsav, it means that Kol Divrei HaNeviim Sheim Amori HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKesuvim B'Tkufas Bayis Rishon Heim B'Chlal Torah Shevichsav. According to the Brit Tzadik, Torah Shevichsav is not just the five books of Moses, but rather it includes all of Tanakh. It includes all of the Divrei Neviim, because those are statements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Neviim brought us and transmitted to us the verbal enunciations of Almighty God, and those were completed during the period of Bayis Rishon. By the time Bayis Rishon came around, during that period of time, all of the Divrei Neviim were already codified, were already written. In fact, the last of the Neviim were Chagai, Zecharia, Malachi. They lived at the end of Bayis Rishon. So by the time we get, for example, to Purim, the story of Purim, which is between the destruction of the first Bayis and the building of the second, that 70-year period, there's no longer Nevuah. Chagai, Zecharia, Malachi were already gone. So Nevuah and the written word of the Navi, because again, the word of the Navi is the word of God, that's what he's transmitting, that corresponds to Bayis Rishon. Once there's no Nevuah, there's no Bayis Rishon. What takes over for Torah Shebichsav? We can no longer write Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is a complete work, and that terminates with the end of the Neviim and the end of Bayis Rishon. Now we enter into Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni is a period of Torah Shebal Peh. And it's no longer the Word of God that we have. There's no longer that special significance to the Word, right, to the formulation, to the psukim. Now we shift to the transmission, to the communication, to the dibuk haverim, to the chabura element of Torah Shebal Peh. Now the Torah itself is made up of three parts. I'm talking about Torah Shebichsav, that's Torah Neviim and Ksuvim, we call Tanakh. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, V'divrei Kabbalah, meaning all the works of the Neviim and the Ksuvim, Bechlal Torah Shebichsav. So again, we're talking about the words themselves, because again, what we're getting is through Ruach HaKodesh, we're getting the words of God. That's called Torah Shebichsav. Now we have to interpret the Torah Shebichsav. We have to understand the meaning of the Torah Shebichsav. That's already Torah Shebal Peh. We get now to the second period of Jewish history, which is called the Tkufa, the period of Bayis Sheni. There's no longer Nevuah. Chagai, Zecharia, Malachi are gone. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Yuma that already at the time of Bayis Sheni, we were missing many, many chunks, many, many major pieces that made up the first Beis HaMikdash. They didn't exist in the Bayis Sheni. Now, one of the five things which the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Yuma mentions is Ruach HaKodesh. Rashi identifies Ruach HaKodesh with Nevuah, with Neviim. Instead of the Neviim in Bayis Sheni, we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, we have what's called the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah will reign supreme as the giants of Torah during Bayis Sheni. But which Torah? Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, do they have any special relationship to Torah Shebichsav? Torah Shebichsav is the Divrei Neviim. Nevuah is already gone by the time we get to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. So I'm begging you to give me an answer. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which Torah are they connected to? Excellent, Torah Shebal Peh. No longer are they part of the group of Torah Shebichsav, in which the words that come out of the mouth are a reflection of prophecy transmitting the word of God, which is Torah Shebichsav. No, now it's Chochmas HaTorah, it's the wisdom of the Torah. They will enlighten us with new interpretations of the Torah, deeper understanding of the Torah. That's called Torah Shebal Peh. And all of the decrees and the siyagim, all the fences, the halachic fences, are set up to avoid, you know, to keep us far away from violating the Torah. This is all part of Torah Shebal Peh. And if you don't know which specific rabbi was responsible for creating which specific Gzera, but what we do know is that these injunctions and these enactments were made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Therefore, Bayis Sheni is a period of time in Jewish history which is directly associated and corresponds to Torah Sh'bal Peh. This is the period of time of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. And they are interpreting the Torah Sh'bichsav. So it means that during Bayis Rishon, what reigns supreme are the words of God, that's the Torah Sh'bichsav, and the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim. And we have to understand the fundamental principles and requirements of the Torah. And Gili Arayah Shvichas Doma Avodah Zorah are basic requirements. We have to avoid these three cardinal sins. And therefore it makes sense that this is Torah Shebichsav. In the destruction of Bayis Rishon, we really see a punishment for the deviation from Torah Shebichsav in the form of these three cardinal sins. And during the period of Torah of Bayis Rishon, we have the impact of the Nevi'im and the Divrei Nevuah. That is going to be mashpi on us, and that's going to set the record straight. We have to live up to the demands of the Nevi'im of the prophets. That's Torah Shebichsav. That's the first Bayis. And that Torah Shebichsav is made up of three parts: Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Then we get to the destruction of the second Bayis. That's called Sinas Chinam. Who are the most influential deviant Jews? At the time by Sheni, they were called the Tzdukim. And who counted against the influence of the Tzdukim during Bayis Sheni? It was the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim were those who were experts and they had complete... how do you say shlita? They knew
control.
What word can we use?
Control.
Control. Yeah, but I'm looking for a different word. Anyway, they had the Torah Sh'bal Peh in their back pocket. They understood the nuances of Torah Sh'bal Peh, and they made up the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. This typifies the Bayis Sheni. And now we have the Churban of Bayis Sheni as a result of the breakdown in communication. There's no longer Chabura. And that is because of Sinas Chinam. Now, we're ready for the insight of the Kedushas Levi. And beyond that, of the Chassam Sofer, we're going to try to see if we can somehow reconcile the Kedushas Levi, that's from Lady Yitzchak Mibarditchev, and the Chassam Sofer, Moshe Sofer, and see if somehow we can reconcile the two. So we'll start first by presenting the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi says that both the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni correspond to Torah, and respectively to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Sh'bal Peh. That's what we developed, and that's what the Kedushas Levi says in the name of the Arizal. The first Bayis is Keneged Torah Shebichsav, the second Bayis is Torah Sh'bal Peh. The Chassam Sofer, in his commentary on the Torah, says that the challenge that Avraham Avinu faced at the moment of Akedas Yitzchak is Torah Shebichsav. Why? God says to Yitzchak, Kachno as bincha sichidcha asher avtas Yitzchak v'lechlecha l'eretz amoriyov aleiv shom liolo. That's as far as Avram is concerned. That's Torah Shebichsav because he heard directly the command of God from the mouth of God. Yitzchak never got that command. For him, it was Torah Sh'bal Peh, says the Chassam Sofer. It was the transmission of Avram, of the word of God, to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak receives this command of the Akedah. He never heard the Tzivui from the mouth of God, but he heard it from the mouth of his father Avram Avinu, who's quoted Hashem. Nevertheless, even though Yitzchak did not hear directly the word of God, he accepted the mitzvah of the Akedah because he believed in his father Avram, that Avram was a reliable a reliable transmitter of the Word of God. And in that, in a certain sense, we could say about Yitzchak that just like Torah Baal Peh requires belief in the Chachamim, we have to believe in the honesty of the Chachamim who transmit the Word of God and interpret the Word of God, so too Yitzchak has to rely on whom? He trusts whom?
Avram.
And he's willing to give up his life. Why? Because of Avram's Torah Baal Peh, the Torah Baal Peh of Avram. And just like we accept the Chachamim, and that's why we fulfill the Torah Baal Peh, so too Yitzchak fulfills the Torah Baal Peh because he relies on the Mesira, on the transmission of the Word of God from his father Avram. So there's a certain connection here between the Beis Hal, between the Kedushas Levi and the Tzam Sofer. You know, both are discussing the Batei Mikdashos. Both are assuming that the Batei Mikdashos correspond, each one respectively, to a different part of the Torah, whereas the Mikdash Rishon is Torah Shebichsav, the Mikdash Sheni is Torah Shebal Peh. The Tzam Sofer wants to introduce this into the parasha of the Akedah. Avram Avinu always represents Torah Shebichsav, Yitzchak Torah Shebal Peh, and this comes to the fore in the case of the Akedah. Avram, insofar as he hears and transmits the word of God, that's Torah Shebichsav. Yitzchak didn't get the direct command from God; he only heard it from his father Avram. That's called Torah Shebal Peh. Avram corresponds to Migdash Rishon because Migdash Rishon is the base on Migdash of Torah Shebichsav. Yitzchak is Torah Shebal Peh, and now we get to the second Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Torah Shebal Peh, and that corresponds to Yitzchak. Right? We said the three Avos correspond to the three Torahs. Torah Shebichsav, that's Avram, Torah Shebal Peh is Yitzchak, and the combination thereof is going to be Yaakov. The Pasuk says, Vayakod es Yitzchak b'no. Yitzchak in the Akedah exceeds, he supersedes the challenge of Avram. Avram, he himself was a Navi, he heard the will of God directly from Hashem, but Yitzchak was willing to give up his life because he believed in his father. His father was Muchzak to be a Navi Hashem, to be a true, genuine prophet of God. Therefore, Shema, afilu lavar al divrei Torah lishachet lifnei Hashem. He was willing to hear from his father Avram that he should be taken away because of Dvar Hashem, because of the divrei Torah. This is all Torah Shebal Peh. So that Avram Avinu is going to strengthen our belief in Torah Shebichsav. Yitzchak is going to strengthen our belief in Torah Shebal Peh. And we should never be maharer. We should never have doubts in our mind. And now we get up to Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. Until now, we were studying the words of the Chassam Sofer in his commentary on the Torah, in which he establishes that at the Akedah, Avram and Yitzchak had two different challenges. Avram was the challenge of Torah Shebichsav, Yitzchak of Torah Shebal Peh, and the two Batei Mikdashos parallel. Avram is the first Beis HaMikdash, that's Torah Shebichsav. Yitzchak is the second Beis HaMikdash, that's Torah Shebal Peh. But now we shift to another work, another book by the same author, and that's the Chassam Sofer, is Tshuvas. And he embellishes this idea that Yitzchak had a very good reason not to accept his father's word. He didn't hear it directly from God. And he could easily question his father on the reliance or the truth of his father's transmission, because God was opposed to taking human life and calling it a sacrifice. We're not allowed to, we're enjoined from human sacrifice. In fact, human sacrifice is a capital crime, no less than any form of avodah zarah. So now Hashem is commanding that I have to be slaughtered on the Mizbeach. That can't be so. Says the Chasam Sofer, it makes sense for Avraham Avinu to believe in Torah Shebichtav because he heard it directly from God, but Yitzchak is willing to give up his life because he relies on the Chacham here, in this case on Avraham Avinu. But wait a second, that's a tremendous challenge for Yitzchak, who didn't hear the Tzivui, to rely on Avraham Avinu when this Tzivui is antithetical to the very fabric of the Torah itself. Because human sacrifice is totally antithetical to the Torah. See, he says the following. This is at the end of page 2. The Maral Prague, as we saw earlier in his commentary on Ovo, says the Mikdash Rishon corresponds to Avraham Avinu, the Mikdash Sheni to Yitzchak. Let's now connect everything together. The Schus of Avraham Avinu was that he fulfilled the will of God, which he heard the will of God transmitted to him directly. That's called Torah Shebichtav. Now Yitzchak, on the other hand, since he listens to Avram and relies on Avram, that's Torah Shebal Peh, he therefore is the schus of the second Beis HaMikdash, because the second Beis HaMikdash was Torah Shebal Peh. That's according to the Maral. And if this be the case, we go back to the insight of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditch of an hour on page 3, that the third Beis HaMikdash will combine and integrate both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. And that will be B'schus Yaakov Avinu, who's called Bias. Right? Let's go back to the Pasuk. And what does it say? Ein Zeki Im Beis... I'm sorry. L'chu Ven Alel Har Hashem El Beis Elokei Yaakov.
Beis, yeah.
Beis Elokei Yaakov. That's why the girls' schools are called Beis Yaakov, right? Because it's the bias. Yaakov represents the bias. Vayikra Eshem HaMokom Ahu Beis El. That was Yaakov. So the third Beis HaMikdash is the bias. That represents the bias. Bias is the perfection. It's not a har. It's not a soda. It's the bias. Very comfortable place that's protected, that's surrounded by walls. That is the ultimate level beyond what's called chesed and gvura. Chesed could be very harsh sometimes, very extreme. That's Avraham Avinu. He goes far out with his chesed. And then we have gvura, which is Yitzchak. But the combination thereof, of these two midos, that of Avraham and that of Yitzchak, that is called a tiferes. Tiferes means a midah of synthesis that synthesizes both chesed and gvura, and that synthesis is called tiferes. And that synthesis is created by Yaakov Avinu. He is the Baal Midas HaTiferes. And that's the greatness of the bias, and that bias will be symbolically represented by the bias shlishi, which will be built with both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. A perfect integration of the two. That represents Tiferes. That represents Yaakov. Now we get to the Gemalim. So I unofficially promised you that we'll have some sort of insight to the significance of the camels. Okay, this is the part that's a little bit more Kabbalistic, a little bit more mystical. He says the following. Why is it that the camels are repeated time and time again in the context of the Shlichus of Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak? And the answer is that the camels are related to what's called Golus Bavel. Right? The Jews are sent into the exile in Bavel. And in Bavel, there's a tremendous revelation or investigation and a creative process that breaks new grounds in Torah Sheba'al Peh. Here in Bavel is where the Torah Sheba'al Peh is going to find its most glorious achievements. The Talmud Bavli, the Gemara tells us, is Balul Menakol, is like the Teferis that we spoke about Yaakov. It integrates everything into one whole. Golus Bavel is connected to Torah Sheba'al Peh. When the Pasuk says in Yeshayahu Anovi Aboyim Yashresh Yaakov, and the Gemara interprets that as a reference to Talmidei Chacham Shebe Bavel. In other words, in Bavel, we find that the Torah finds its, shall I say, its palace, its capital, it's from Bavel that the Torah spreads throughout the world. The source is in Bavel. Now, Bavel is one of many different exiles in Jewish history. But what's common to all exile is the concept that was first established in the Golus of Bavel, and that is Torah Sheba'al Peh. Every Golios, whenever the Jews are sent into Golus, it means that they are there in order to transmit the Torah Sheba'al Peh. That is the goal of Golus. And the Talmidei Chacham in Bavel were the ones who established Bavel as the exile which is paradigmic of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh flourished nowhere and no time in history beyond the door of Bavel. Bavel, in other words, we talk about the flourishing, the development of Torah Sheba'al Peh. You can look at the library. Not, this is more an English library, but if you look at a Hebrew library of Judaica, you'll see endless Sfarim. That's all Torah Sheba'al Peh. There's a flourishing of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Where does it all start from? Where are the roots, the origins? In Bavel. It's unbelievable. Yechezkel HaNavi is going to predict in his prophecy Golus Bavel. Now normally when you predict exile, that's like sad, is it not? That we're going into exile. But here Yechezkel describes B'simcha the Golus of Bavel. Why is he so elated by the Golus Bavel? We don't like Golus. And the answer is because Bavel was designated by the divine being as and a plan as the center of Torah Sheba'al Peh. From Bavel there will be the spreading of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Shebe'esha golu le'Bavel kulam holchu b'mar nefesh. All the Jews were sad. They were in anguish. V'yechezkel holach b'simcha rabba. And Yechezkel was uplifted by joy. Why? Because Yechezkel understood that the Or, the light of Torah, the light of Kiddush, of sanctity, which is being projected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is clearer. That light is clearer, it's more accessible, it's more understandable in Bavel than anywhere else in the face of the earth. Yoser mi behirusam yoshvim al admosam. And Yechezkel is very excited about Golus Bavel because he saw something that no other Novi got to see. He got a perception of the Golus Bavel as it was actively teaching and analyzing Torah Sheba'al Peh, spreading Torah Sheba'al Peh throughout the earth. And ultimately in Bavel we get the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah is a generation assembly of Chachamim that are going to interpret the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, fine. All this is wonderful. But what does it have to do with the Gemala? So in order to appreciate that, we need to learn a Tanchuma. You know, the Medrash Tanchuma is perhaps the closest thing that we have to mysticism in the Midrashim. Meaning, Midrashi Chazal are usually not mystical. For that, you turn to the Zohar and to the other books of Kabbalah. But not so with regard to the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma is very profound. Arba Chayos Tmeos Nizkiru B'Parsha Shmini. Tanchuma on Shmini says that there are four categories of non-kosher animals that are listed in the Torah Parsha Shmini. Gamal, that's our camel. Our Neves is some sort of a rabbit. Shafan is another kind of a rabbit. Chazir is a swine. Comes along the Tanchuma and says that each one of these four non-kosher animals correspond to each one of the four Golios. There were four major periods of exile. The first is Bavel. And Bavel, as the first of the four, corresponds to the first of the four animals that are listed in Shmini, which is the Gamal. So we now have an equation between Gamal and Golis Bavel. In fact, the Tanchuma says on the Pasuk Es HaGamal, you know, it's when the Torah says you should not eat the Gamal, Zeh Bavel. You know, Rabbi, if this was a Hasidic Shavart, I would see, you know, why you're mistayeg, you know, but this is a Chazal, this is a Tanchuma. The Tanchuma says that these four animals, non-kosher animals, correspond to the four Golios. And Gamal is Bavel. And not only that, the Tanchuma proves this from a pasuk in Tanakh. It says, Bas Bavel Ashduda, Ashrei, Sheishalim Loch Es Gmulech Shegamalt Lanu. Now the word Gmulech comes from the Shorish Gamal.
Right.
And Bavel is mentioned in this pasuk in the context of this Gamal. Now you know that there's something called Pirkei Shira. Each species of animals has its own unique song that it sings to praise God on a daily basis. Let's take a look at the song of the Gamal. Gamal Omer, Hashem mimarom yishag, u'mimaon kodsho yiten kolo, sha'og yishag al naveu. This pasuk is an allusion to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, who's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Tsar of Babel is a Gamal. And the Gamal, now, insofar as it's the physical representation of the Babel, of the evil Nebuchadnezzar of Babel, is going to be responsible for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gamal on a daily basis is going to sing to Hashem and express its sadness and its anguish over the fact that it, the Gamal, as a representation of Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar, is going to be the cause of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So again, if you ask what Bavel is and why it's a challenge to the Jewish people, on the one hand, Bavel is great because that's where Torah Shebaal Peh is going to flourish. That becomes the center of Torah Shebaal Peh. But on the other hand, we have bad news about Bavel, because Bavel represents the Gamal, or the Gamal represents Bavel. And the Gamal has a specific attack or victim, that it, you know, something that it finds intolerable, and that's Torah Shebaal Peh. When you ride the Gamal, what you're trying to do is subjugate the Gamal, which is called Lachnia in Hebrew. And why do you want to subjugate the Gamal upon which you're riding? Because you want to overcome that power in the Gamal of Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. Of the fact that Bavel is going to be a certain force that's anti-Torah Shebaal Peh. So what you want to do is you want to ride on the Gamal and you want to subjugate the Gamal. You want to control the Gamal. You want to express in the Shira Yishag, Hashem Yivarom Yishag, which you describe in tears, that God is crying, he's shedding a tear, Kaviyachal, over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we have to identify with. And the Gamal, specifically because it represents the antithesis of Torah Baal Peh, therefore, the Gamal is crying over the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the Torah Baal Peh. That's all the Bavel in the evil sense of Bavel. The flip side is the good news about Bavel, that Bavel is going to be the center of Torah Jewry, and all the Chidushim of Torah and all the Sfarim that were written, it all starts in Bavel. That's the original location. So that on the one hand, Bavel represents Hisnagdus, opposition to Torah Baal Peh. And that's why the Gamal, which is somehow related to Bavel, is opposed to Torah Baal Peh. But the Rechiv al HaGamal, when we ride the camel, that represents Hachna, which means to subjugate. Again, it's the only best word I can come up with. If you have a better word, please let me know. To subjugate that force, that anti-Torah Baal Peh force. We want to control it. And Gamal is also Chacham in the Gematria. That the Chachmas HaTorah has to be directed towards destroying the Gamal. And the purpose and the responsibility of the Chacham is to dedicate himself to the study specific of which Torah? Torah Shebaal Peh.
The Gematria requires Hei Chacham with a Hei.
I have to add a Hei. Okay. He says the following. Let's see if we can fast forward on page 4. Do you see a section that says Rivka Rocheves or Rachva? The Torah says the following, that she, Rivka, lives up to the test. She succeeds in the test of Eliezer, and she says Gmal Gamli Gamalech Eshke. What is this concept of water and the context of water and the Gamal? You know, feed the Gamal water. Water is always a symbol in Chazal, it's Gemara Bava Kama, of Torah. Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So the Sfasebe says, which part of the Torah? We have two parts to Torah. And he says specifically to Torah Shebaal Peh. The water that satiates a person who's thirsty is because he's desperate for Torah Shebaal Peh. When she declares, Rivka, Shesei v'gam gmalech eshkeh, she is alluding to the fact, in a remez, that she would like to be part of the service of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is dedicated to Torah Shebaal Peh. And Yitzchak in the Akedah, when he relies on his father Avraham Avinu, is the paradigm to manifest Torah Shebaal Peh. She, Rivka, wants to take part in this glorious effort of Torah Shebaal Peh. And in order to do so, what she has to do is she has to control the Gamal, because if you remember, the Gamal represents Bavel, that was the Tanchuma, and Bavel represents the antithesis to Torah Shebaal Peh. She wants to subjugate the Gamal and neutralize the Gamal and convert Golas Bavel from a terrible, destructive, undermining the Torah Shebaal Peh phenomenon of the Gamal, and instead replace it with Hashkas HaGmalim, to give the Gmalim Mayim. Mayim represents Torah. That now she wants to participate in this glorious enterprise called Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore she is the fitting, appropriate marriage partner for Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is Torah Shebaal Peh. Yitzchak relies on his father, that's called Torah Shebaal Peh. And now let's understand the most dramatic episode in this week's parasha, in which there's a meeting between Rivka and Yitzchak for the first time. Vatakom Rivka v'narosel v'terkavna ala gmalim. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us that Rivka is going to ride on the gmalim. Yeah. which means that Rivka is going to control the force of Bavel, that negative destructive force of Bavel, because the Gamal, as we saw in the Tanchuma, represents Bavel, and she's going to ride on top of these Gamalim. She's going to subjugate and neutralize and undermine the power of the Gamal as the Klipa of Bavel. And then the Torah says, "Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basad lifnos erev." And what's he doing there? Who's he talking to in the sicha out in the fields? He's praying to Hashem. And what is he praying for? Which Migdash is Yitzchak's Migdash? The second one, the Migdash Sheni. So that Yitzchak is called a Sadeh. And then immediately after he's out in the field praying on behalf of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Migdash Sheni, because the Migdash Sheni represents Torah Shebaal Peh, and Yitzchak represents and embodies and manifests Torah Shebaal Peh, then immediately the Torah says, "Vayisayinu vayarvinei gmalim boim." Who cares? Why did the Torah have to go out of its way to tell me that after Yitzchak's prayer, he raises his eyes and all he sees is gmalim? And the answer is because these gmalim represent now the possibility, since you're riding them and you're subjugating them, to somehow control those forces of the gamal representing Bavel, the klipa of Bavel that's trying to undermine the Torah Shebaal Peh. And by the very fact that he perceives in front of his eyes Rivka together with her entourage riding the Gemalim, he understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had responded to his prayers when he was praying to find a wife who would help him attack Bavel, the Klipas Bavel, which is represented symbolically by the Gemal. And he thanks Hashem because Hashem gave him the opportunity to find a wife who will help him, who will be by his side, who will aid in this battle against the Gamal, against the Klipas Bavel, in order to prepare for the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is Yitzchak's Beis HaMikdash. And so we see that the Gamal, based on the Tanchum again, in the middle column, at the bottom of the middle column on page 3, says the Tanchuma, amongst the four non-kosher species in Parshas Shmini, Gamal represents Bavel. And if there's an equation between the Gamal and Bavel, we understand that Dafka Yitzchak is going to fight against the Gamal and try to be Machnia the Gamal. Rivka, insofar as she wants to be the appropriate candidate as a marriage partner to Yitzchak, she too is going to join him and ride these Gamalim and subjugate them, so that the power of Bavel too, as the anti-force to Torah Shebaal Peh, will be vitiated, will be destroyed. And now Rivka says, "You're praying, Yitzchak, for Torah Shebaal Peh. You're praying for the second Beis HaMikdash. I'm with you all the way. I'm riding the Gemalim and subjugating them because I want to destroy that power of Bavel, which is trying to undermine the Torah Shebaal Peh and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. I'm with you in your prayers for Torah Shebaal Peh, for the Beis HaMikdash Hasheni. And we will fight until we finally undermine and vitiate that power of the Gamal, which is the power of the Klipas Bavel, antithetical, and try to undermine Torah Shebaal Peh. Yehi ratzon v'yehi will, that we can appreciate the nuances of the Torah on a deeper level, and we can fight the battle of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is what we have to do. We messed up with Sinas Chinam, and that brought about the destruction of the second Mikdash. There was no room for Pilpul Chaverim, for Dibuk Chaverim, for Chabura learning, and the Torah Shebaal Peh was unfortunately lost because of the Sinas Chinam. We have to be Zochet to be a Tikkun, and we'll be Zochet to the bias Shlishi, which is the bias that integrates both Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Peh, the bias of Tiferes, the bias in which we will be free of all these shackles of these anti-forces that try to undermine the Torah Shebaal Peh, and that'll be at the time, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, of Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mheirah of Yameinu, Amen.
Amen. Wow. So the Rosh Hashanah, we actually did a whole thing.
I mean, there were pieces here that we'd have to go back.